Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, I'm excited as we begin our study of the book of Daniel's prophetic passages. Last week, we studied the practical passages in the prophecy of Daniel. Remember, prophecy and practical living go hand in hand. Today, we'll look at the four prophetic chapters. Daniel chapter 2 is the times of the Gentiles. Daniel 7, a focus on the Antichrist. Daniel 9, the tribulation period. And Daniel 11, the alignment of the nations. Remember, the book of Daniel is a timeline for the Gentiles in our world today. This study is key to understanding how the end of years will play out in God's prophetic program. In order to see the overall scenario of God's plan through the ages, we must see God's plan for the Gentile people as it is given to us in the prophecy of Daniel. Please take your Bible and let's go to Daniel chapter 2 to start our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Let me give you the chapters that are prophetic. And these are the four main prophetic passages. I would jot this down so you can remember it. And the first prophetic passage would be chapter 2. Now, we're going to look at all of these in just a moment, but chapter 2 will be talking about the Gentile world powers, the times of the Gentiles. I would title chapter 2, The Times of the Gentiles, and this is when it's going to begin. Then the next prophetic passage would be chapter 7. And chapter 7 is going to talk to us about the personality during the times of the Gentiles, at least at the end of those times, the Antichrist. The Antichrist. That's one of 27 names for this world dictator who will be the main driving force during the tribulation period. And that's the third of the prophetic passages. That's chapter 9, talking about the 70th week of Daniel, or that seven-year period of time of judgment upon the face of the earth. Chapter 11 would be the last of the prophetic passages in essence. I'm talking about the key prophetic passages in Daniel's prophecy, and that would be the alignment of nations, but I'm just simply going to look at the first three nations who make a move against Israel. As we look at the alignment of nations, we'll continue that because that's a major component in the timeline for the Jewish people when we look at the book of Ezekiel. And so you have chapter 2, the times of the Gentiles, chapter 7, the appearance of Antichrist, chapter 9, the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, and chapter 11, at least the beginning stages of the alignment of the nations. Let me tell you, if you're going to study Daniel, you need to study it chronologically. All prophetic passages need to be studied chronologically. I'm going to show you that you cannot even understand, in my opinion, you cannot understand Revelation unless you do it chronologically. And we'll look, Ezekiel is chronologically put together, but Daniel is not chronological. There are 12 chapters in Daniel. Let me tell you how you read the chapters chronologically in the book of Daniel. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you skip over to chapters 7 and 8. Then you go back to chapters 5 and 6, and then 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'll give them to you again. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Now let me show you why I say that is the case. Look at chapter 5, just a moment. Chapter 5, and we'll look at the last verse. Next to the last verse and the last verse. Chapter 5, verse 30. This is the record of the handwriting on the wall when Belshazzar, who I believe was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, has come to power. And he is very arrogant, like his grandfather was. And he takes the vessels from the temple the temple in the city of Jerusalem that his granddaddy brought into Babylon, and he uses them in their drunken orgy that takes place that night. They put the wine in the vessels. The Mizrach, for example, which was the vessel used to put the sacrificial blood in, and so the priest could take them out and pour it on the altar. So he uses these vessels, he desecrates them before the Lord, and then the Lord sends in the Medes and the Persians to defeat the Babylonian Empire. Now notice verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and the Medes and the Persians, verse 31, take control of the world. Notice in chapter 5, Belshazzar is slain at the hands of the Medo-Persian Empire. Go to chapter 7 now and look at verse 1. Chapter 7 and verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, it makes it pretty difficult if the Babylonian Empire has fallen and you've been killed to now come to power for your first year. Go to chapter 8 and verse 1. And notice what it says. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. And so I don't know why, when we get to heaven, on the way up in the rapture, if you need to ask that question, I'll tell you the answer, because I'll know everything at that point in time. I'll have been changed to be like him. I don't know why. All I have to tell you is that's what the text says. I am locked in. I'm disciplined to look and see what the text say and live by that, because that's what I believe for my eternal existence in the heavenlies. So I'm going to do it when I study Bible prophecy as well. So again, chronologically, to check your numbers out, here's how you read the book of Daniel. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Now let's go to chapter 2 just a moment. In chapter 2, these men, Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, have qualified to be members of that group of wise men, the council that would be advising Nebuchadnezzar. They got in there, they are in that leadership role. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. The dream is very puzzling to him. He does not understand what it's talking about. And so he calls a group of his wise men in. By the way, Daniel and his buddies were not in that group that came in. Nebuchadnezzar told them, I need the interpretation of the dream. And they immediately said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, give us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. He said, no. If you can give me the interpretation, you can give me the dream. Now give me the dream and the interpretation. And they said, no, wait a minute, Nebuchadnezzar, nobody's ever done that before. How can we do that? We need to know the dream. We can interpret it. No. If you have the gift of interpreting, you can tell me what the dream was. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and said something very serious. I tell you what, boys, if you don't give me the dream and then the interpretation, I'm going to cut your heads off. You're going to be dead. You won't be any more wise men. I'll have to get another group. And he dismissed them to go figure out what the dream was and the interpretation. Meanwhile, Daniel and his three Baptist buddies, we're having a little prayer meeting. What are we going to do? Wow, we got a crisis here. And Daniel was gifted by God. I'm not going to read all these. It's in the text. Read it. You'll enjoy the time of reading it. It'll be edifying to you. Daniel was gifted by God to interpret the dream. And so he goes in before Nebuchadnezzar to give him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Look right here in chapter 2. We see he's going to give the dream. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was awesome, or was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and of clay, and they brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, became like the shaft of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. There's the dream, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you get that dream? Look up here just a moment. It was the image of a man, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thigh of brass, legs of iron, 10 toes of iron and clay. A stone comes along, hits the image, burst it up into little pieces, and like the shaft on the threshing floor in the summer, the breeze blew it away, and that stone became a mighty mountain. Notice the stone was cut out without hands, a part of what takes place when the temple is erected. All the stones used in building the previous temples and the next temples to come cannot be cut out with steel by man by hand. They must be cut out by stone. And so this was a part of a forecast or a prophecy of the one who would be that one who becomes the mountain, Jesus Christ the Messiah. The Messiah, HaMashiach, used in chapter 9, the only time in Scripture it's used, the Messiah would come and he would burst this image. Now the interpretation is essential for us to understand what it's talking about. So Daniel's going to interpret it, verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Notice who gives him the kingdom. We get so uptight about the election process here in the United States of America. Folks, read chapter 13 of the book of Romans. Only those that I allow to be in a position of authority are there. Now, I'm not saying we don't exercise our franchise to vote. I'm not saying we don't think that process through. But let's don't get so hyper about it. God's in charge. If we believe that, we can rest in that. And we don't have to get somebody elected so economically America's going to be saved. My Bible still has Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus the Lord. We get right out there on the edge. The reason we have the president we have today is because 26% of the vote for President Obama came from the body of Christ because they were concerned about economics. We're at fault for what we have. Let's don't get tight. Look here. Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the world. He wasn't only president of the United States. He was the ruler of the world. And what did Daniel say? God gave you that position. You're there because of that. Verse 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee the ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Now he tells us what the head represents in this image of the man, the golden head. It's the Babylonian Empire. What he is going to unfold for us here is the times of the Gentiles and the major Gentile world powers who will come to power in our world.
In Daniel chapter 2, the first of the four prophetic passages in Daniel, we see the prophecy of the times of the Gentiles, as foretold through a dream that the Lord gave King Nebuchadnezzar, a dream which Daniel interpreted for the king. The times of the Gentiles extend from the time that Daniel was taken into the Babylonian captivity, all the way through history, and then into the seven-year tribulation period on the earth. It will come to a conclusion at the return of Jesus Christ, who will destroy the Gentile world powers. We are now living in these times of the Gentiles and quickly approaching the time when Jesus, the stone in Daniel chapter 2, when Jesus returns to earth. Next time, we'll study the rest of Daniel chapter 2 in order to identify the other Gentile world powers and how they will fit into Bible prophecy. This study, as I said, is key to our understanding of the last days. Please join us next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...